I really want this to be a time to be interactive and engaged because I feel like singles this year, we're really gonna make movement, and I really want us to just feel close and really just talk about our hearts and talk about just the year to come. And you know, I wish I had this like elaborate sermon. I wish I had like this speech that's gonna move mountains, but really all I can share from is like my heart. All I can share from are like the cries of my heart from last year. All I can really share from is from those deep valley points that I was in, or and I'm not sure if you guys can relate, but I call it heart cries. They're like the prayers that I've offer to God as a sacrifice in my times when I'm just in doubt, or times when I'm just in struggle, or times where I'm just like unknowing about this place. And so the point that I really wanted to talk about tonight was just the idea of breakthrough. I think in this new year, and I love that we're starting off the year praying, and I think a lot of people have echoed those sentiments, but for me, I think breakthrough is like the term that keeps coming to my heart. Breakthrough that like we can be free from the things that we're holding on to, free from the things that are latching on to us that aren't promoting our growth. Breakthrough in like our lives, breakthrough in our dreams. And I really want us as singles to leave today really just believing that like those dreams that we have buried in our heart, those dreams that we have that are just like, you know, we don't believe in it. It's not existent to us anymore. I really want us to leave here feeling like we can resurrect those dreams and really offer them to God as a sacrifice. And so when I think about like the journey, when I think about just going through doubt or strange places, for me specifically, I kind of feel like God has me in this space where it's a strange new place. Like, I don't really know what's going to happen next. I don't really know what the future holds. So when I think about that, one of the places I go to read, or something that's been calling to mind, is the book of Daniel. And so even when we're having this like, what should the name be for this thing? I was like, breakthrough! You know, I was like so adamant. I was like in Valencia, she was kind of orchestrating behind the scenes, and she was like doing a poll, and I'm like, I'm gonna win, breakthrough needs to win. But it didn't win, but I was like, I'm still gonna talk about breakthrough because it just needs to be talked about. And I see that through the book of Daniel. I think Daniel was a young teenager when he was brought into exile, and he had to wait and wait to see God's promise. And the book of Daniel is kind of, I was joking with Brayola, it could be kind of grim if you've read it. It's a serious book. It's not light. It's not like, yay, no, it was like, it kind of gets darker and darker and darker until the full prophecy comes, and we know that the vision that he got was of Jesus, our Redeemer, and the Savior. So, but I did want to talk about Daniel in the lion's den. I think, like, for me, that just shows that with God, we can be redeemed from anything. We could be saved from anything. So, honestly, I just really want to share from the book. I don't know if we want to, like, have volunteers, or I could just personally read from the, Daniel 6, if you guys want to turn there. I think what better way to share God's word than to just read it. So Daniel in the den of lions. So at this point, Daniel's already been in exile, and he's in the king's court, and he's serving the king. So I'll just read it starting in verse 1. It says, I'll just wait till everyone gets there for a second. No worries. All right, I'll go ahead and start. It says, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom. With three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel, the satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel was so distinguished himself, he'd so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps try to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. But they were unable to do so. They could not find any corruption in him, because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, My king Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows were open towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except you, your majesty, would be thrown in the lion's den? The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to your decree, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation may not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried down to the lion's den. When he came near to the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before your majesty. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found in him because he had trusted God. I'll stop there for now, but I just kind of wanted to kind of look at a few character traits about Daniel, especially in his anguish. I'm not sure if anyone else could relate, but have you ever been in a time where you felt like you don't know where life's going, or like the journey's? Oh, right now. Yeah. Right now. Did you say on my way here? I mean, not literally. I mean, like, literally. But yeah, I kind of want to talk about Daniel's qualities, and I don't mean to make this a high school teacher kind of moment, but really, what speaks to your heart about Daniel's character throughout all of this? Anyone's free to answer. Yeah.
Confident.
Right. So when you apply those, oh yeah.
I'm saying, I like how the first thing you do is he says thanks.
Mm.
He really puts in that scripture is like, consider pure joy when you consider.
Right, in James. Yeah. So for us as singles, and this is what I have to question myself, and this is why it convicts me so much, is that when I'm going through this, how come I don't see myself the way that I see Daniel? Singles, I ask you the same thing. Do you guys see yourselves with the same kind of trust in God? Do you guys see yourselves with the same kind of faithfulness in him? A lot of the times when we're in the journey and it's so long, we don't know the future. It's a strange place. Just like Daniel, he was in this exile place. This wasn't his home. This isn't where he belonged. But yet he still remained to be trustworthy. It said that they could find no corruption in him. And it said that he prayed three times a day and he got down on his knees. And I think when we're waiting for our breakthrough and when we're waiting for us to see change in our life and we're waiting to see God impact us, what does our prayer look like, or how are we effectively praying? And I think for me, that's a challenge that I want to give to myself this year, is praying. The other thing I wanted to talk about was, like, how do you guys find that yourselves getting out of seasons of waiting? How do you guys feel like you are able to relate to God or cry out to God in these times where you don't see Him or you don't feel Him? And this is an open question to me.
I mean, for me, sometimes I can feel that way where I've been praying about things, or I feel like I've been putting a lot of effort in certain things and nothing is happening. And I'm like, why?
Right.
And but it's funny because God always come in my quiet time to encourage me to someone, or in my quiet time where, you know, I would get to learn about His timing and trust His timing on how He has a better purpose for me, or a better plan than my plan for my life. And yeah, in that way, you always get me back to Him. Like, okay, God, you're in control. I'm not in control. Because every time I feel like I'm in control, that's when I'm going to this anxiety and thinking about what's going to happen in the future. But the moment I focus on God, seek Him first, I don't feel those anxiety. I don't have those. Those problems.
No, yeah, I agree.
So, yeah, usually I'll just focus on Him and say, okay, God, I'm focusing on You. I want to please You instead of pleasing me.
Yeah.
And at that time, I feel good.
Right. Because life is aligned and can feel like that sometimes. And so it's really, like you're saying, putting God first, the same way that we're shown in these scriptures, how seeking God and going to Him first really matters. I don't know if anyone else wanted to share or kind of speak on that.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, because probably go through many seasons of wait. Like, I think I go to the Word and kind of just remember the, like, promises of God, like, what did He say, and, like, just continue to, just, you know, say, this is what You said, You're faithful, I trust, and I'm just going to, you know, be here. You know, it's the scripture I think I like to hold to, let all that I am wait quietly before You. So I think I try to hold on to that, and also just continue to be, like, super real with God, and, like, just talk to Him about, like, well, this is how I'm feeling, but I trust You. So that helps me when I'm waiting.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what I'm learning is just really crying out to God, really giving him our all, really trying to challenge ourselves to really dream again, to believe again, and to believe that He can do. And I think the reason why I really wanted to share about breakthrough is because sometimes it just seems so impossible. You know, sometimes I think we just think about, like, just, oh, I'm not dating, or something like marriage, but that's not really, I think God is calling to us deeper than that. Like, what are some things that God's really drilling in your heart that maybe we forgot about? Maybe we felt like it's not going to happen. It's just not. And marriage may be one of those things, or going somewhere, finding that dream, or really changing someone's life. I feel like to be reignited again, I think we need to really sit down and believe that, like, the same way that God was able to deliver Daniel, the same way that God was able to show Himself trustworthy, is the same way that He can reveal Himself to us in these times. There's another part of Daniel that I did want to read, and it's Daniel 10. Trying to find this. Sure.
I was thinking, maybe, I'm not sure if I should be thinking it like this, but sometimes I think to myself, like, greater the challenge, greater the reward.
So
even though it could be, like, a long time, you might be waiting for God, and that means just kind of what He was saying, like, then God just has something way bigger planned for you. So it's like, so I always think to myself, it's like, oh, another day, it didn't happen. Okay, great. So that means the day when it comes, it's going to be great.
That is, that's a faithful. I like that word. So it's going to be Daniel 10 and then at verse 2. Right now, Daniel's in mourning. He got a vision that the Israelites, it's going to get worse. It's not going to get any better. And so he's sad, and he's just longing for God to take them out of exile. He's waiting for God to get them out of this place, bring them back to the promised land, bring them back to the homeland, and not be in this exile. And I don't know, but I feel that way sometimes, begging and crying out to God to bring me back to the place where I feel comfortable again. Bring me back to that place where I feel like I'm your son, like I'm standing on something familiar. But God sometimes has us in strange places for very good reasons, and it offers us growth, and it offers him the ability to come to us. In this passage, we'll see how he was able to see a vision from God. So in verse 2, it says, "At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day, on the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen, with a belt of gold, fine gold, of Uphaz around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude." Daniel was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left at my face. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened, I fell into a deep, deep sleep with my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, "Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you, and stand up, for now I have been sent to you." And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come to respond to them." This is powerful to me, and I relate to this because, you know, when you're in those times where you feel like you're mourning, and I'm sorry if this is all sad and depressed, but I think these are conversations that we don't really talk about, or we don't really talk about how we're struggling through waiting on a promise from God. But I can sometimes feel like that mourning, sometimes feeling like I'm not seeing it, but God sends his angel to tell Daniel that I've heard you. I've heard all of your cries. I've heard all of your tears. I see you and I hear your prayers. He even tells him, "You are highly esteemed." Sometimes we think we're not getting what we want because we don't have God's favor, but that's not true. I think God wants us to know the first thing he says is, "You are highly esteemed, Daniel." And then he says, "Do not be afraid. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding," gaining understanding on God, gaining understanding on who God was, and he humbled himself before God, "Your words were heard, and I have a response to them." I don't know, I kind of wanted to just share and read from the book of Daniel, kind of to, I don't know, really offer this time to kind of relate and kind of try to think about those things for the new year, where we want to go, where we want to head. And I really, really encourage us, I'm going to encourage myself that this year, that we really go for it all, that we really lay it all on the line for prayer, really put ourselves in that lion's den, trusting that God's going to deliver, trusting that God's going to send it or deliver us from whatever situation that we're feeling. So I don't know if you guys want us, we have some time, but talk about what you feel, or we may not have time. but in prayer, when we do go to pray, please just resurrect those dreams in your heart, to resurrect those things that you felt like you've left long ago, and ask God to come through. And that's all I really had to share.